meeting of today of Audit Compliance Title IX. If we would please take roll.
Chair Arriscotta.
Here.
Vice Chair Cruz Crawford.
Good morning, here.
Regent Boylan. Regent Brager.
Here.
Regent Del Carlo.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Wonderful. Regent Del Carlo down at Desert Research Institute, if you could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Certainly. Please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, in one, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you to all. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, the Washo, the Numu, Northern Paiute, the Nuwi, the Western Shoshone, and the Nuwu, the Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations. So now we're going to go into public comment. Prior to initiating public comment, I am going to ask for those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-494-5069 and passcode 555-555. I will ask for public comment at the meeting sites first.
Chair,
is there any public comment? Yes. Sure.
Linda King, Associate General Counsel. I believe we need to go back to roll call, unless I didn't hear that. Oh, okay, you did. Thank you, Angela. Sorry for the interruption.
I will ask for public comment from the meeting sites first. Is there any public comment at GBC?
No public comment in ELCO.
Is there any public comment at DRI in Las Vegas?
I don't see any, Chair.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Reno? And there is not. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
Not at this time.
Wonderful. Let's move on to consent items for possible action. There were three consent items that were on the list today. We can take these in one swoop. Is there a motion on the table for approval?
Regent Brager for approval for all three items.
Regent Del Carlo, second.
Thank you, Regent Brager. Thank you, Regent Brager. Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. All in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Wonderful. Let's move on to item number three, the chair's report. I'm going to take a different approach to this chair's report in order to give recognition to past chairs, past committees of Title IX audit compliance and Title IX. Going back all the way to 2018, when I started watching the videos recently, up until last year, I would like to applaud them for their diligence, their thoroughness, and especially their honesty and transparency. We're going to move on and we're going to continue to go through the same lens over the next year. And I want to thank you for all who have participated and contributed over the past few years. So we're going to move on to number four, the cooperative extension at UNR for possible action. So with this, I'm going to ask for Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp to present for approval the report for the institutional responses at the University Cooperative Extension.
Thank you, Chair Arriscotta. So right above that, there is an audit summary document. And this is a table of audit reports that are being presented today. So this includes updates on those follow-up audits that you just approved. As usual, I want to say thank you to the institutions and offices with reports being presented today. It's always a collaborative effort, so thank you. So now jumping into that UNR Cooperative Extension Report, that is the first internal audit report. This audit is a little bit different since the primary purpose of this review was to determine the extent to which recommendations from the prior audit were implemented. So that prior audit period was from 7/1/16 through 9/30/17. The team noted areas for improvement in continuing to strategize a spend down plan and determine an optimal reserve range, strengthening controls related to travel expenditures, and updating procedures surrounding cash controls, recharges, and report standardization. What I would like to note is that comparing the number of prior audit findings to this report, the findings have gone down and significant efforts have been made to address our prior recommendations. Just a few more minor adjustments will help some of these processes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Lauren. Oh, my goodness. I apologize. Thank you, Interim Chief. Are there any questions, comments from the committee?
This is Regent Cruz Crawford.
Yes, please, Regent Cruz Crawford.
Good morning. I have a question. I sent an email. My school does get UNR Cooperative Extension nutrition lessons. I don't think that really is a problem, but I just wanted to make sure that I disclosed that.
So I'm going to defer that over to Counselor Linda King.
Yeah, Linda King for the record. Your disclosure is appropriate and should be noted on the record.
Thank you, Regent Cruz Crawford. All in favor of accepting the audit report from the University of Nevada, Reno Cooperative Extension? All in favor, or is there a motion on the table? Excuse me.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Laura Perkins.
Please.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yes, please, Regent Perkins.
Thank you, sir. I'm not on this committee. However, I am an advisory member for the Cooperative Extension, and I would like to, if there's any way possible to give more information about the spend down plan. I understand that was part of the audit to have that. And can we get an update or comments from Cooperative Extension about what they're doing about this, the current spend down plan and how that's going to work?
Definitely will do. One of the questions I also have kind of ride your wave there, Regent Perkins, is the Cooperative Extension from the University of Nevada, Reno seems to be garnering great success, and there seems to be a fairly large budget, and approximately $22 million. In addition to that, there seems to be a rather large revenue stream of finances that are coming in. I was hoping I could also entertain President Sandoval or a University of Nevada, Reno representative to speak on these issues.
Mr. Chair, this is Brian Sandoval, for the record, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. We will happily respond to those questions. We have with us the Director of Cooperative Extension, Mr. Jake DeDecker, who's here to present.
Wonderful. Thank you, President Sandoval. Mr. DeDecker, podium is yours.
UNR Extension, for the record. Thank you for the opportunity. We have had opportunities to work with counties across the state, and particularly with Clark County. It's a pleasure to work in that partnership. In 2017, it was noted that there was funds available. It was addition to our annual operating account, and there was a plan that was put in place at that time. That plan has been executed, but with the pandemic and with additional revenues that have been coming in above our annual operating account, not all of those dollars have been expended at the rate that we expected. We currently have a strategic plan that is in place that is robust about increasing our faculty and staff, increasing our research and education program portfolio for the county that we are really excited about, and a plan in place within fiscal year 2024 and 25 that increases our expenditures up to the annual operating as well as to the additional dollars that are in what we call the enrichment account to further enrich Clark County in those areas. So excited to share more of those details if asked, but that is our strategic plan proceeding.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. DeDecker.
Thank you very much. sorry. Thank you very much for that information. Can you, like, touch upon the MOUs that are going on between Clark County and the other counties?
So there is an MOU that's in place with each of the counties and with an extension per state statute. And those agreements are based on the programming and staffing that take place based on that county. So it's a partnership that we have and an annual agreement that we work with county leadership every year to put in place to make sure that we are meeting the needs and exceeding those needs within each of those counties. We'll say, too, that in addition, as we work with particularly in Clark County, but partnerships are a huge part of what we do. So we are collaborating across the state with a number of entities, including INCHI institutions. UNLV has been a big partner with us here in Clark County as we've really ramped up those efforts recently. And part of our strategic plan is to continue to partner with those entities, including UNLV, within the next years to come. So we're excited to advance those partnerships.
Thank you so much for all of that. And one final question, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair.
Please go.
About the Alamo camp, can you, because that's part of the spend down plan and that benefits the whole entire state?
My apologies. Could you repeat that? I had a hard time hearing.
Sorry, I'm only on the phone. I'm sorry. Part of that plan was to create the camp in Alamo for Southern Nevada. And can you touch on that a little bit?
Yes, thank you, Regent Perkins. So we are honored to really partner with Clark County and Lincoln County in a brand new 4-H camp in Lincoln County, and Alamo is where it's located. We're partnering with Clark County School District and a number of young people to bring youth out to that camp. In fact, there's 12 different schools that are going to be experiencing that camp firsthand within just the first few months of 2024. So it's a great opportunity to really serve young people within Clark and Lincoln County. And that couples with the camp that we already have up at Lake Tahoe. So to have 4-H camps, two 4-H camps in different parts of the state serving our community is a wonderful blessing.
Thank you, and I appreciate cooperative extension.
Mr. DeDecker, while you're up there, if I may, one of the good problems to have is an influx of finances. Back at the previous audit, there was a rather robust reserve account, and it seems that reserve account is still, actually it's flourishing. With that spend down of the account and the positions in which you're going to be filling, is that where the majority of the reserve account is going to be going, to backfilling those positions?
Most of those dollars are to fill positions in research and education in key areas that we've been talking about how we can serve Clark County based on the way that we can have the biggest impact within the communities that we serve. Some of it will also be around programming experiences. We're talking about a 4-H demonstration garden, again, in partnership with some other institutions. So some of it is faculty staff, and some of it is resources and programming to enhance that education in different parts of our community.
Wonderful. And one other item, I see that there's representation from the Cooperative Extension of the University of Nevada, Reno, throughout 18 counties. Now, although the state of Nevada has 17 counties, I'm guessing the 18th is Carson City?
We have multiple offices, so we have more offices sometimes than the counties that we have. So we serve throughout the state, and we're present within all of the counties. And yes, and sometimes we have more than one office within those communities.
Wonderful. Are there any more questions from the committee? May I entertain a motion for approval?
So moved by Susan Brager.
Second by Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Regent Brager, and yourself, Regent Del Carlo. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. DeDecker, and thank you, President Sandoval.
Thank you.
For the next few items on the agenda, Interim Chief Internal Auditor is pretty much going to be taking the floor. So please, let's follow up with item number 5 of the hosting of DRI for possible action. Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Arriscotta. For the record, Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. The Board of Regents Handbook, Title 4, Chapter 10, Section 25, requires that internal audit test host expenditures annually. And the way we satisfy that requirement in the past is to sample an institution or two on a rotating basis annually. So for as deep of a dive as some of these reviews can be, the results and recommendations are consistent with the last few hosting audits we presented, which is where we note a few transactions with opportunities to improve in documentation surrounding those host expenditures and purchasing compliance. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the items I noticed that was quite a positive response from not just DRI but other hosting campuses is which they have on the corrective actions any taken. So internal audit, yourself and your predecessor did a very thorough review of each campus, especially the hosting campus, and the proactive response by each campus is well received. Is there a motion on the table, or may I introduce a motion on the table for approval of the hosting of DRI?
Motion by Susan Brager.
Is there a second?
Second by Regent Del Carlo. Anybody
else? I like this momentum, Regent Del Carlo. Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. We're going to move on to item number six, which is the Internal Audit Department Work Plan and Status Report. Interim Chief Internal Auditor, Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Arriscotta. Lauren Tripp, Interim Chief Internal Auditor. So to provide some background, we used to present our audit plan on a yearly basis. This didn't give us much flexibility, and as we all know, priorities and risks can change quite rapidly. So we moved towards a semi-annual work plan. This approach is good for a few reasons, because this better aligns ourselves with best practices from around the country, but also lets us be more agile, flexible in how we perform our work. This also gives the committee a much more realistic estimate and snapshot of what we plan to work on, the progress of our current projects, plus the monitoring of items we have already worked on. I'll direct the committee to pages 3-4, which describes a bit how the plan was put together and the measures we have taken to ensure there's agility and flexibility built into the plan. There often are important unforeseen projects that come out throughout the year where we need to have the ability to provide resources in a timely fashion. A huge part of what we strive to do in our department is add value and provide services beyond that of traditional assurance services. And one of those ways is assisting with these types of requests. I'll very briefly go over some highlights and themes. The work plan has time built into the budget for training. In order for us to stay relevant, internal and external training must be included and should be expected. I am a firm believer that we as a department and individuals should always try to continue to educate ourselves and learn the necessary skills to better assist the institutions. In the past, this committee has placed emphasis on the importance of certifications in the department to show our commitment from the audit team of continuing education and staying current with certifications. As part of that commitment to the board, I'm happy to say that I get to add another certification to our department since I passed the certified internal auditor exam earlier this week, so I'm pretty excited about that. The continuing themes may also look very familiar since they are the same as the last report presented, but they continue to remain points of importance. Responsiveness, as things come up, we need to think, is there a way we can increase our analysis in a certain area? And as we become aware of certain items, as policies tighten, this helps inform our audit plan. Where can we help that will make the biggest difference? We need to remain aware of hot topics that might be coming up with similar organizations, being aware of current events and what might be on the horizon. We continue to run lean, but there are some ongoing department discussions. We need to do our due diligence, and it shouldn't just be a matter of us trying to add people just to add people. We need to add the right people to better accomplish our goals and add value to the institutions. We are currently working on shifting some internal jobs to other staff in order to get some outstanding projects over the finish line. Collaboration with other groups remains crucial. This includes groups such as legal, HR, compliance, other auditors. We have to work together for the best results. We are not experts in all areas. I wish, but we're not. And with these collaborative efforts, We continue to create great working relationships with the people who truly are the subject matter experts. On page 7, you'll see some of the charts and graphs tracking our open findings at the institutions. This graph on page 7 tracks the unresolved findings where we now show the 5-year trends, and you'll see the direction that graph is going. You'll still see a slight little uptick for this report. The main reason for this is, as you can see from the chart on page 8, the largest amount of open exceptions are NC system admin findings, and this was due to employee vacancies in key positions. Excuse me. I'm hopeful that this number should substantially decrease by the next report. The key positions who were responsible for closing out these findings have now been filled, with these positions being filled for at least a few months now, at least. This has given them time to settle in, and these should be easier to close out. We usually start the process of following up on the responses closer to when the report is due, but I've encouraged the team to start working on these a bit sooner because I'm really determined to get that number down. Overall, this committee started to formally track and monitor open exceptions, and it's made a difference. One of the more useful metrics we have from an internal audit perspective is how many issues are open, how many past due issues do we have beyond general accountability. It's typically a strong indicator how many open findings there are of management's buy-in and their willingness to accept our recommendations as we partner with them. And with that, that concludes my remarks for the work plan and status report.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the dais? Hearing none. I do have two questions. Actually, you stole two of my thunder. One of the items was I was going to ask on page 8 to please expand on the NC institutional report identifying the 10 unresolved findings. And will this number be declining after recent hirings of NC key positions? And I believe you touched upon that.
Interim Chief
Internal.
And? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, sorry, Lauren Chip. Yes, that is exactly. I'm sorry, I stole your thunder. Yeah. So the three positions mostly with those were the CFO, Public Information Officer, and I think maybe there's an HR one. But, yeah, we should be able to close a few of those out next round.
Wonderful. And just for the record, I'd also like to give a strong congratulations to you for passing that test. You need full recognition. And very well done.
Thank you.
So is there a motion on the table to approve the Internal Audit Department work plan and status report?
This is Regent Del Carlo. I move to approve the Internal Audit Workforce Plan.
Regent Susan Breger with a second.
We have a flip-flop. Thank you very much for the second, Regent Breger. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. This next item is number 7. It's an internal audit compliance and Title IX update. Now, this is for information only. And once again, Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Arascata. Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. So this section is a standing item to be able to provide some departmental updates and just have a placeholder for some additional discussions. In the past, this has been used as a platform to update the committee on things such as financial aid related findings, discuss our risk assessment methodology, and updates for other board related initiatives. At the last meeting, I had mentioned there were some updates to the internal audit proposed standards that were still in progress. Well, that day has finally come, and the new global internal audit standards were released on January 9, 2024, and will become effective January 9, 2025. Early adoption is encouraged, so it is definitely on my radar, and I'm working on it. This is important because anytime there are changes to the standards to which internal audit adheres to or conforms with, this will result in changes made to the internal audit charter. This also gives the opportunity to make sure we are ready and in compliance for our next quality assurance review and keeps us up with best practices. A quick hotline update. Back at the November meeting, I had also mentioned that we were in transition of switching over hotline vendors, exploring additional options. We're still going through that process of reviewing potential vendors, and I'll actually have to jump out for a couple calls today to sit on what some of these vendors could potentially offer us. In the meantime, we do have an email available on the website for submissions, and individuals have been utilizing it. This has been active since the previous system was sunset. During this process, we will continue to evaluate and take into consideration the necessary structuring to provide the most efficient and effective way for us to manage the hotline. We want what's best for everyone. There are a lot of items in the queue, and I'll be honest, I'm still working on prioritizing some of the upcoming projects and what needs to be accomplished first, which I would say the two items I just mentioned are the top priorities. There are some other projects on my radar as well that I think could be beneficial to the department, but they're more related to helping standardize some of our internal operating procedures and streamlining. And lastly, the external auditors will be going over the next couple agenda items, 8 and 9, and I truly appreciate them coming today. These documents may look very familiar because they are very similar to what was presented in November. The reports are still in draft, but the auditors will go over more detailed status and their plan for completion. And with that, thank you, and I appreciate the committee's time.
Thank you very much for the thorough description. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to move over to number 8, and actually 8 and 9 are the meat and potatoes of audit. So this is, we're going to start off with 8, the communications with those charged with governance of NSHE. And we are going to hear from Rep. Kim McCormick, who is a partner at Grant Thornton, and she'll be presenting a draft report on the communications with those charged with governance for the system. On the dais, Ms. McCormick.
Thank you. For the record, Kim McCormick, audit partner with Grant Thornton. Good to be with you all today. I have been asked to give you an update on the status of the audit of NSHE, both the financial statement audit and the federal award audit for the year ended June 30, 23. As was mentioned, we actually reported out to you at the very end of November because the audit was essentially done at that stage. And you may recall I mentioned to you the big open item was the standalone audit of PEPS. That's obviously the state agency that administers the post-employment benefit plan. And that's significant to NSHE because you have about a $580 million liability on your balance sheet that group computes. And so part of NSHE getting comfortable with that number and the financial statements is making sure that it is audited, so it has its own standalone audit. The challenge has been that audit is not done, and it's still not done as of today. I've heard this week that audit has commenced, and there's the hope that it will get done in March so we can finalize this audit. But in terms of what I have to report to you, honestly, there's really not a whole lot of change. This required communications document is just a recap of the areas of the focus of the audit and reminds you that for the federal award audit, there were 5 federal programs out of the $700 million that you have that were subject to audit this year, and those are listed in the report as well. So really, that's a recap of agenda item number 8. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. I'm going to refer to the dais. Are there any questions from the committee? Hearing none. None from here in Reno, but I do want to express our appreciation. The reports in which you provided are extremely thorough. We're going to move over to number 9, if we could, please. Ms. McCormick is going to be presenting on the Uniform Guidance Audit Report and Financial Statements. Ms. McCormick, number 9 is yours.
Thank you very much. So the subject matter of the two audits that I just mentioned, if you print it out, it looks like this. It's a big, thick document. This is NSHE's financial statements, inclusive of all of the component entities that roll up into NSHE, the fundraising foundations, medical practice plan, and et cetera. Our opinion on those financial statements is obviously still in draft form because we're waiting for that other audit to finish. But it is anticipated being a clean opinion and a modified opinion that we believe these financial statements are fairly stated. With respect to the federal award audits, same result, clean opinion, unmodified opinion. We do have a handful of findings that I shared with you back in November. There's really been no change to those. The good news, particularly around the area of student financial assistance, which is always the biggest federal program audited every year, is the number of findings continue to go down, and that was a trend that we saw again for 23. So some good news there. So with that, congratulations to the management team for a good audit result. And it's a pleasure working with all of you. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions from Las Vegas?
Chair R. Scott, this is Regent Del Carlo. I do have one question.
Yes, please go ahead, Chair.
Thank you. Kim, you mentioned on the financial audits that the trend's going down, and that's on student, is it student financial aid?
Yeah, that is the student financial assistance program that comes from the department, U.S. Department of Education. So think about your Pell Grants and your student loans, that big program.
So ours are going down, or nationally it's going down?
INSHEs are going down.
And I mean, what do you attribute that to?
Diligence, just you know, paying attention to the finding from last year and trying to make sure it doesn't repeat in the current year. Okay. I mean, there was a time when there were, you know, 15 plus findings every year in that particular program, and now it's down to one. So that's good news.
I just wanted that on the record because, you know, I know we, with the seven institutions that have those kinds of programs, that it's so important. This is public money. And it is our fiduciary to make sure that money is spent properly, whether it's coming from the federal, from the state, or wherever. So I just wanted that on the record, that our the diligence that our institutions, our seven institutions, are paying attention and working for continuous improvement. That's how I grew up. So I just want the seven institutions to know that they're doing a great job. So thank you for affirming that.
Well stated, Regent Del Carlo.
Please. I just want to thank Kim and her team for always, you guys have been great. And I appreciate you being here. And I know we have you on our main board agenda too for, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but always looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. And I'm going to kind of ride the coattails of Regent Del Carlo. Couple items on this. One, I have to plead guilty. With the doorstop in which you held up, Ms. McCormick, I did not read all 322 pages of that report. I have to plead guilty. However, the thoroughness of Grant Thornton and yourself over the past 15 years has not been unrecognized. What you all have done for the system of higher ed is brought full transparency, and as Regent Del Carlo just mentioned, a fiduciary responsibility held by each campus. So I would greatly appreciate if the room can give recognition to Grant Thornton and to Kim McCormick, who is always in the crosshairs and sits on the podium, and she's been wonderful for the past 15 years. Ms. McCormick, I greatly appreciate your time.
Again, our pleasure.
This is Regent Susan Brager, Chair Escada. May I just make one comment?
Please.
You can. Thank you very much. Maybe because of that, and I didn't read all 320 pages, to be quite honest. I flipped through it, but there's a lot of material that we get. Is there something that a narrative that you could put on that front page, maybe of any high points that we really should be attentive to? Because there's a lot of material that we get. I mean, is there something or... to our auditors or something that as you look through those?
I can help out there. About three quarters of the way through the document is where that nice summary is.
Okay, maybe that could be on the top.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
Great suggestion. Thank you, Regent Brager. Any other questions, comments for Grant Thornton or the representative, Ms. McCormick? Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. McCormick, and thank you again. Greatly appreciate your time and commitment to the system.
Of course. Our pleasure.
We're going to move on to public comment. Item number 11, Is there any public comment?
You forgot
at Great
number
Basin
10,
College?
Chair. You forgot number 10.
New business.
I flew right over that. Okay. I flew right over that. Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Item number 10, any new business?
Yes, I have some new business, Regent, Chair Arascata. To Regent Brager's point, I think it would be very helpful going forward when we have these humongous reports, and 322 pages is a lot to read. It's one committee. One, I used to count up how many pages we had to read in a two-week or less period, and it could be 1,000, 1,500 pages if we're reading everything. And it's, you know, most of us have a life, and it's pretty impossible to read it all. But to my point, if we have a 322-page report or a 200-page report, maybe we could get a one-page synopsis with highlights where to go for the real meat. Because I'll be honest, I'm glad you were honest, Chair Scott. I'm glad you were honest, Regent Brager, because I didn't read all 322 pages either. It just wasn't possible. So I would offer that as new business going forward. Thank you.
Chair Arascata, this is Michael Wixon for the record. I believe that you need to reopen item number 9. I don't believe that there was a motion or a vote on item number 9, and it was an action item.
Mr. Wixon, I appreciate your diligence. If we can
it wasn't
follow
me.
Back with new business.
Just for the record, I'm a voice for someone else.
Nothing wrong with that. I completely overlooked that it is for possible action. The presentation from Grant Thornton and partner Kim McCormick under item number 9, the Unifor Guidance Audit Report and Financial Statements. Is there a motion on the table for approval?
Motion by Susan Brager for acceptance.
Second by Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Regent Brager and Regent Del Carlo. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Now I want to identify the new business item by Regent Del Carlo. I think that is a magnificent idea, not just for this committee, but all future committees. That's a great idea. Thank you very much, Regent Del Carlo. And Mr. Wixom and whoever gave you the elbow nudge, thank you again. Let's move on to public comment. Is there any public comment at Great Basin College?
No public comment from GBC.
I do not see any public comment here in Reno. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? No public comment. Walk. Oh, there's.
There is.
You have one.
Good morning. Kent Irvin, Nevada Faculty Alliance. I'd like to ditto the comments in new business about providing executive summaries for the regents and the public of the high-level issues of reports. As I've talked about recently, in relation to self-supporting budgets and other budgets where the amount of detail that is being presented to the regents has declined recently, and we're moving in the right direction there. All those details are important. NFA commits to helping you read the details and pointing out things that we think ought to be looked at. So all the details are important, but it's also important to have the high-level discussion of what system staff thinks are the major points to look at and to do your fiduciary duty, and for us as the public and representatives of the Nevada Faculty Alliance to do our due diligence. Thank you.
Chair Scott,
a comment. Yep, please go.
No,
go
I was just going to let you know there is no other comments here.
Thank you, Regent Brager. As the conclusion of public comment, and at 8:39, this meeting is adjourned.